This is RSBNB Update, episode 303, recorded Friday, April 8th, 2011. Exercising Farming. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of RSBNB Update, which is a RuneScape podcast that you are listening to. Hopefully, you have gathered that, but if not, that's what we are. My name is Shane, and Chief Snake is here this week.
Hello. And I would like to point out that we are the best RuneScape podcast.
I think we're the only one that still goes on a regular schedule.
There you go.
And, you know, being regular when it comes to these kind of things is good, because if you're not, then people aren't going to subscribe to it, because it's something that's not expected, you know? So
absolutely, absolutely. It's always good to be regular, Shane.
So that's why a weekly schedule like that is good.
Yep.
So you take a look at today's panel, and it's just the two of us, and, you know, there's one thing in common between both of us, and that's our enjoyment of the farming skill, which this week's update brings a farming update to us, one of the first farming updates in a long time. So, what was your first reaction when you read this news post?
I can't say I did read the news post, to be honest. I mean, yeah, I basically had it explained to me, and I looked at it a little bit, but, you know, I didn't see that much about it. I think the main thing is that it doesn't seem like it is really as focused on farming as it should be.
Yeah.
Considering it is the Livid Farm, it is more of a magic update. I mean, the requirement is 70 magic. The highest requirement is, at least. So.
Yeah, but the thing is, in the behind the scenes for the month, they made it sound like a farming update.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was kind of disheartening when it came out, you know, that this is actually a magic update and it's promoting the use of farming to further magic, lunar magic. So,
yeah. But, I mean, I guess it's another win for farming in the fact that, in the sense that we have more things to farm.
It actually has a point in the real world, unlike Dungeoneering.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we're coming up to the 1 year anniversary of next Tuesday. And I just got level 66.
Oh, nice. You're still training that?
Well, no. Well, no, it was called Trek. He wanted to do dungeons, so Mike and I went with him.
Oh, very impressive.
Yes, so that's why.
But it seems like this is more of a secondary thing, farming being used to train other skills.
Yeah, which, I don't know, do you agree with that?
Not farming used to train farming. I don't really agree with it, because I don't think it's giving people an insight into what farming actually is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, for those little people who still haven't got interested in it. I don't know why they wouldn't.
Like, the only real farming aspect of this is that you're using the Cure Plant spell and Fertile Soil spell to fix up the farm. Yeah, that's all.
Basically, yeah, so it is still magic. I mean, that's hardly even farming at all.
Basically, you go to Pauline's farm, and she's harvesting these things to send back to the mainland for Chieftain Brunt. So you have to help keep the farm running, either through giving her energy through the energy transfer spell, fertilizing the soil, curing diseased ones, using string jewelry to bunch the things up, and then putting them in the cart. And then, of course, fixing the fence so that the Sukas can't get in. So that's pretty much the whole idea of it. The idea is that you start with fertile soil, cure them, then you move on to the area where you can pick up the bunch, and then you string them using string jewelry. And if Pauline runs out of energy, then this whole thing slows down. And the idea is that you keep going in this circle without letting her run out of energy, and then when you do that, you get these farming produce points, which can be used to buy things. So, but, you know, it's not farming produce. Like, it makes... It's not produce in the typical sense of, like, you know, your veggies and stuff and huge selection that you'd see at, like, a farmer's market or something. You know, I think maybe that might have been a better way to go about this, if it would have been something that would have brought more aspects to the allotment farming in and
transferred
this out to maybe other skills like cooking or something, or maybe even magic somehow. I don't know. But because if you look at farming right now, the issue with farming is that once you get to the trees, there's the only thing you want to farm is trees because they give the best XP. Yep. Allotments become useless unless you're looking for a little bit of extra XP on top. When really, I think it should be the other way around, where trees are the bonus XP and allotments are the main way you get XP.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, on the other hand, though, we're probably looking at this from a little bit much of a farming perspective, because I mean, I don't know. If you were to say that it was an update specifically aimed at magic, then it's a pretty impressive update. I mean, it's an improvement to all the lunar spells, and they're always handy.
Yeah, it is, in that respect, if you look at it that way. But
Vengeance Group?
Disruption of Shield?
That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, Disruption of Shield. We'll get to those in a moment, but that just seems a little too powerful. But I do agree with you that they should have used farming in the way that we know farming, you know? Some way. But I don't know if that would have been possible, given the constraints of this activity.
Curing plants and fertilizing soil is a bit... bleh. It's still magic. It's not actual farming.
Yeah, so I don't know. But to use all these spells, you get the XP, and if you don't have the magic level, you can still use the spell. It's just a matter of not getting the magic XP for it.
Oh.
So let's say you don't have level 93 or 91. You won't get the magic XP for those spells.
Interesting.
But you will be able to use them. So... It was a pretty hectic update when I got there on later in day one. There were still people actually there using it. So,
day one though. Still,
yeah, day one. I assume it'll have died down by now, because if you already look at the graph for the astral runes spiked just a tad, but they've already normalized. So,
yeah.
Because astral runes are actually what everything here is.
So you have to use your own astral runes.
Yep, and nature runes and law runes.
Oh.
Yeah, so you are paying that price. But it's not too expensive. I forget what the cost breakdown was. It's not going to set you back that much. I think it was no more than 5 million to unlock all the spells. So.
Yeah, that's not too bad when you think about it.
Yeah, so.
Cool spells.
Yeah, the spells. Teleport to South Falador.
And you do get them permanently. So.
Yes, which costs 87,300 points. And now going through these, what we're going to say is when you use one of these points, those points don't disappear. So you buy the spell, you still have 87,300 points. That just stacks up to the next one, which is Repair Rune Pouch.
Oh, okay. Oh, yep.
Then you've also got Teleport to North Ardoyan. Now, these three spells are completely useless because Teleport to South Falador can be done with the Explorer's Ring.
Yes. But what if you don't have that on you?
Well, then you would need this. But who can't do the elite or hard Lumbridge Drainer Diary?
Yeah.
So, Repair Rune Pouch you can use NPC Contact for already.
Yep.
And Teleport North Ardoyan you can use the cloak from that Achievement Diary. So, there's those spells.
Although that cloak... that's only the hard task you need to do for that, isn't it?
Yeah. I forget how many teleports a day the hard task is, but I know the elite one is unlimited. But, you know, if you're just a casual person doing farming runs, you could either start off in Catherby and then walk there, or just use the one or two a day. I don't remember how many it is.
I still walk from Catherby.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're accomplishing something.
Go for a run.
Yeah. Even exercise those legs. So the next one is remote farming, which allows you to check the status of any farming patch and cure disease remotely.
I thought that you could already do that anyway. Somehow. I couldn't remember. Well, maybe it was through the amulet.
You can get the notice that something is diseased through the amulet, but you can't cure it as far as I know.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, yeah, this is okay. But you remember last time you were on the show, I said that this is something that really shouldn't happen in farming because you should actually have to go and get down in the ground and examine your plant and fix it.
Yeah, it becomes a little bit too far-fetched.
Yeah, so I won't be using that spell if I ever get it. You know, I just found it so weird that I was talking about this at a few episodes ago and then it comes this week, you know? It's like, okay. I should predict more things like this.
I think conventional farming is the best type of farming. And all they really need to do to update it is just add more stuff, add more crops.
Yeah, add the farmer's market.
Yeah, well, I don't know, maybe.
Something like it. spiritualize food, which is you can convert a piece of food in your inventory so that your familiar can use it so you can heal it and boost its stats and replenish its timer.
Oh, replenish its timer?
Yeah, that'd be good for certain situations, you know?
It would, I suppose. I wonder how much replenishes it by, depending on what you use.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
To look into. But then still, you've got to be using lunas and stuff.
Yeah, but you know, at this point, if you're the only reason you wouldn't want to be using lunas is if you were in combat and needed one of the kind of combat spells from the other spell books, I think.
Yeah, but I've never been able to use it just because I can't live without the regular teleports. I mean, you can always just use teleport tabs, but
yeah,
they're annoying.
And I have spellbook swap, so I guess I could switch over, but I don't know. Next up, make leather. Now, this tans 5 hides in your inventory. Doesn't this sound good? Make leather? So that you don't need to run back and forth between...
Yes, I was doing that for some time.
Yeah, this is one of the spells I would like, you know, out of here because... You know, it would make crafting a whole lot easier, and you don't need to pay the tanner. You just pay your runes.
Yep.
So, if the
expense to the tanner isn't that much.
Yeah, no, it's not. But it's also the running thing, you know.
Yeah, it's the running mainly. But then, I wonder how it would work because you do a whole inventory at the tanner, whereas it's only 5 at a time through magic.
Yeah, I don't know.
It probably wouldn't be that great. A difference, but then you get magic XP. So
you could also maybe use it for getting 99 magic because it's a level 83 and it only requires 2 fire, 2 body, and 2 astral runes. And then you also think about tanning hides; you make money from that. So,
yep. I guess if you were just tanning and then sell them afterwards, you could definitely profit from that.
Yeah. So this
at
is
this stage.
I think this is my favorite spell in this update so far.
I didn't actually think about that.
I think this next one is one that most combat people will be interested in and get them actually onto the Lunar Spellbook at 720,000 points, Disruption Shield. When you're next hit by a player, Disruption Shield nullifies the damage received from that hit, has a cooldown period of 30 seconds.
So it's a little bit... Well, it's not really like Vengeance, but that is a pretty powerful spell, really.
Yeah, imagine you're in the wilderness or something, and this guy's charging at you with, I don't know what, but you use that and completely removes the first hit, so I guess that would give you a chance to strike first after he strikes and misses.
Yeah, that's true. That would be good, if you get rushed or something. But I wonder how it would work. I mean, would it... You know how with Vengeance it says that thing, taste vengeance. Well, wait, does it actually say something when you use it?
What, Disruption Shield?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not seen it. I don't know anybody that has it yet.
Oh, yeah. I guess not.
So. And Vengeance Group, as you were leading on to, deals damage to players close to you, so... I don't know. That might be interesting.
I think for the majority of players, it'd be too much effort to get.
It's get these, yeah.
Points.
Yeah, let's just say you get around 17,000 points per hour.
Yeah, and so especially for people who aren't interested in farming, construction, crafting, agility, yeah, they're not going to be bothered.
Yeah, that's 5 hours just for the first spell.
Let's just say. Yeah.
So. But the thing is, after you get all these spells, there's things called wishes, which give you more chances of receiving another plank when making planks. Puts a number of herbs in your inventory called Gimme Herbs. Vial My Herbs converts herbs into unfinished potions. Seed drop, let it rain seeds around your feet.
Cool.
Become less likely to burn fish for a period of 30 minutes and turn lunar lumber into runes. Convert a full inventory of lunar lumber into runes. So.
Oh, so these are all only temporary.
Yeah, they're only temporary effects. And for 18,000 points for Gimme Herbs, yeah, you really got to think. Is it worth spending this much when I could be doing something else, you know? So. I don't know. So,
oh, well.
You know, it's an okay update for what it's intended to do, but it could have went from the farming side better, I think. So, I don't know. Only a 3 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, that sounds about the same. Actually, I'm surprised you even gave it a 3, but yeah, based on what you're saying. I would give it a 3 too.
Yeah, because it tries, and you know, it's good for some things, specifically the tanning one and maybe even remote farming one for some people and disruption shield. So those are good spells. But, you know, it's just not an activity people can come back to and enjoy. It's really tedious. You know, it's not fun to do.
Even though it's fun, well, it's magic, I guess.
It's magic, right. So...
Let's not joke about things.
You know, and you know, it also requires the second lunar quest, I believe. I think it does.
No, it's just lunar diplomacy.
Okay. Well, it requires that quest. And
even though it probably shouldn't it? It should require Dream Mentor, because that's what some of the spells are. Well.
Yeah, so.
I thought that were.
Anyways.
Anyway, moving on.
Let's hope for a better farming update next time.
Yes.
Moving on to the tweaks and fixes. Okay, this is something that we have also mentioned before that needed to be done. The foliage update. Currently just south of Falador, because that happens to be where the clan camp is setting up.
Oh, right. I saw this. So, they only called this a tweak or fix.
Yeah, it wasn't a headline update.
Wow, I would have thought it would be a bit of a headline.
Yeah, it's like one sentence. So.
Interesting. But so, this had to be probably one of the best graphical updates ever.
Yes.
Even though, you know, relatively small, but.
And it really shows what they can do with their engine, you know?
Yeah.
And how it can look so great. Because. I don't know. This actually makes it feel like you're in a forest. The trees are actually taller than you, how they should be. And we've been with the same tree model since RuneScape 2 came out, so it was time.
They've probably done similar things like in other new kind of areas, but we just haven't really noticed.
Because it's not such a big change.
Yeah,
right.
And it's not really a big deal. But they've actually done it, you know, south of Falador. Over a massive area of the game that's already well known to players, and sort of, yeah, you can actually see how big a difference it makes, and yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's very cool.
Yeah, another thing that's good about it is that the yew and oak trees, I thought those were really well done.
Oh, yeah. The sucky thing about it, I think, is that it's more difficult to differentiate between the trees now. But I also think that that's a lot more realistic.
Yeah, like, you know, you see trees out and about, right? You don't automatically know by looking at them what kind of tree it is. You have to go up to the tree, look at the bark,
Not really. No, yeah.
Yeah, so that's perfectly fine,
really,
you know,
obvious,
right?
Like willows. Yep.
Yeah, the willows look good too, actually.
I don't know if you went
that far out. But
I should have. Kind of stopped.
Yeah, the willows by the water there. Really nice. So, very good graphical update on Jagex's part. And it should be worth noting that this also broke the bots in that area.
Yeah, I heard about that. I would have liked if they'd actually, you know, not just limited this to South Velador, because I was sort of in Varric at the time, and I, you know, didn't see anything because I just assumed that they'd changed all of the trees because I hadn't read about the update. So yeah, I had to teleport to Velador and then I saw them. But it would have been nicer if they just sort of updated all of them with new models. However, it doesn't matter.
It's probably coming in the future, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's
you know,
for them to improve on. And,
like, yeah. Just to give you an idea, when I first went into that area, I felt the same feeling I felt when I first went on the hardware rendered of the version of the game with all the textures and everything. It felt that much better. I don't know if you felt the same way.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I'm not that interested in RuneScape at the moment, but somewhat,
but
yes.
It just felt so much better to see this.
Yeah,
like
it does.
These
it
graphics, and wow.
Yeah.
We can actually make this game look modern.
I know what you mean.
They could added a thing on it to have wind or something, you know? But I don't know. That might have been a little too much, but
a bit much for the Jagex.
Yeah, and you know, you could even climb these trees now if you wanted. Well you can't, but I think that would be a good little agility update to go with it.
Climbing trees.
Well yeah, imagine if there were still PvP worlds, climb a tree, and then you could mage people from up in the tree, you know, just like the Japanese used to do in World War II. They'd climb trees and snipe people.
I was going to say, they didn't used to mage people from trees, right?
Well, sniping, ranging.
Yeah. But, all right.
So this did break the bots. And, you know, you got to wonder, is this something Jagex did intentionally with this, or was it just a nice little side effect, you know? Because that's the kind of update you would need to break the bots, but the question is, can you do these kind of updates to all the hotspot areas frequently enough to keep the bots broken?
I doubt it.
Yeah, really. I think it is a losing battle in that respect, because if you think about it from a software point of view, a bot is programmed with a set of actions to scan a certain region on your screen for a certain hotspot to click, and once they find the new hotspot,
it's really just a matter of programming that in somehow, I guess.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a nice break from the bots, but I really don't think it's going to do much in the long run. So, that's too bad. But it was a nice little side effect, so. Speaking further of bot things, they actually broke another bot in Varrock. If you remember, Aubrey used to sell the runecrafting cape there,
oh,
right?
I heard about that too, yes.
They moved him to the Wizards Guild. Or they didn't move him. They moved the cape to the Wizards Guild.
Yep.
And guess what the new person's name is there?
What?
Yes, take a guess.
Hint, because I have no clue.
Larry R.
Oh my god, is it actually?
Well, it's LARRIAR. Larry R.
Wow. That is the greatest name ever.
Well, yeah, you know who Larry R is, right?
Yep.
Larry R is.
He's not actually number one anymore, isn't he?
No, I don't believe so.
Is it?
He's currently number four, but he was number one for a long, long time.
Yeah.
He was, was he the first person to get 99? I don't remember.
He might have been. God, Phoenix Odin must be pissed.
Where's my cape name?
He was the first one to get 200 mil XP.
But basically, this is funny because the point behind this, the guy's named Larry R. Larry R is someone that we used to run nature runes for, we being Mike, myself, and Pika. We used to run nature runes for him back before he even got 91 runecrafting, so this was long, long ago. So we were actually one of his first 10 people that he hired to run nature runes. So we were one of the, like, you know, really early on in this thing. So it's just kind of funny being linked to this. So this was a nice little update. So
best name ever.
Yep. Another little bug fixes this week. Priscilla is once again female. I was wondering about that last time I was farming in my own place. Yeah.
Interesting.
I
noticed that, but...
It looked nail, but... Okay, that was weird. Let's see. Runeflesh Flagstaff can no longer be placed through buildings or walls. That's pretty much about it. Oh, and it's no longer possible to get agility XP on a free world when climbing a ladder in the wilderness.
When climbing a what? Climbing a ladder in the wilderness.
Yeah. I don't know where that would have been, but okay.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just how do these little things come up and whatnot, you know? So. Oh, and I should mention... Go ahead.
Oh, no, nothing.
Okay, I was going to say I should mention that we did have a question about bots and stuff in relation to the tree update, but I think we kind of answered that here, so I think Bonsai sent in that question. That's why your question will not be in the question section later on, because we pretty much covered that here, so...
Well, thank you anyway, Bonsai.
Yes, being proactive there.
But what else this week? There's more?
That's it for the actual game updates. But this next thing is just a skilling ladder thing. Once again, they're pushing the clan thing again. They want people to get involved with the clan and sign up for skilling competitions and whatnot. So that they've got a... Once again, this is actually done by the forums. It's not automated as of yet, but you can join one of these groups and scale, or once the clan things come out, you'll be able to set up your own competition between other clans and challenge people, which, you know, people have been doing all the way before, right? Like, since the beginning of RuneScape time. It's just
skilling, though.
We're catching on
now. Who really
now.
Does that?
Well... Some skilling clans do, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
But, you know, it's just like, okay, Jagex, we get that you want people to join clans. It's not necessary for you to do this. If people are going to join a clan, they will join a clan on their own. They don't need help.
Yeah. Yeah, makes you wonder.
Yeah, it does, really, because it's... Anyway, that's coming out next week, which I'm looking forward to covering from a rather condescending point of view. Well, maybe not that condescending.
Oh, cynical.
We'll see. We'll see how it turns out. But speaking of that, they've actually got a development blog now out about how rated clan wars and clan high scores will work. And from the sound of it, it just sounds pretty much like the current high score system, except... Except it's just like, well, based on the group of people in your clan. So, as stated before, we will be setting one up, but not for the whole clan purpose, just because we're a fan site and we want the features. So we're not going to have any strict requirements, like you must do a dance or something, or you must get 50 pledges and wear a pink shirt on your first week in the clan or something like that, you know?
Yep.
So it's not to worry
That'll
about
That'll be
there.
Fun.
Oh, it will be. Just seeing how this whole thing is implemented, you know, and if it's actually useful to clans or if they'll still use their own third-party solutions for this. So it'll be interesting to see where it pushes it.
Yeah. Will you only be able to join one clan?
We don't know yet. We don't know.
Yeah.
If you're only able to join one clan, that would be kind of silly because I'm sure people are going to have clans that they want to join, but they don't want to have the commitment because they've already got their main clan or something, you know?
Well, that's right. I mean, I'm sure some people would certainly be in multiple clans, but the logistics of, from Jagex's point of view, of actually keeping it kind of fair, you know, I think one clan per person would be logical.
If they do that, we're not going to get people using that because many of our members are already in clans and they're not going to leave their clan just to join a fan site clan that's just for tools and stuff, you know?
Yep.
So, I don't know. Next week shall be interesting, and it is apparently coming out on the 12th, which does, as we said, coincide with the 1-year release of Dungeoneering. So it's a question of which update will be better, Dungeoneering or the clan camp? I'm betting the clan cap.
Which will be pretty funny to compare.
But.
Oh, well. Moving
Anyways,
on.
That's RuneScape updates for this week. That felt kind of short.
Really? Felt pretty long.
Yeah,
to me.
I think it did. Well, questions will be short because we only got 5 this week. So you guys remember, if you want to hear questions on the show, you got to send them in. Alrighty, first question comes from Penn State 315. Host, what is your opinion on the United States' attack on Libya?
I'm pretty sure you just pronounced that as host to start with. So I'm happy with that. You can answer.
You don't have an opinion on Libya?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah, you know, I guess that's one thing that kind of happens being in New Zealand and everything. You just kind of, nothing else matters.
Well, it does. It's just that's what happens when you're in a university hostel. You don't actually get the news.
Oh, okay. Well, let me provide you with a bit of background then and say that for a couple of weeks now, a UN-sanctioned mission has been bombing strategic targets in Libya to implement a no-fly zone in order to aid the rebels there. Because Gaddafi has been using his military against them, so that was their whole reason to send in a UN-mandated mission to protect the rebels and whatnot like that. So, now the question is, first off, it is not the United States attack on Libya. The mission is currently being led by NATO. In fact, a Canadian general is in command of the mission right now. So it's not a United States attack. It's an attack that was set up by the United Nations and implemented by NATO. So now that that we got that out of the way, the first thing with this is that you have to ask questions when this kind of thing comes up. Is this attack warranted? Who are the rebels? What exactly are we doing this for when we are not interfering in other conflicts like Iran or Yemen, which had similar things like this? Iran last year when their military was shooting people down in the street. You know, you got to wonder why Libya and why not Iran? Is that somebody doesn't want to piss Iran off or something? I don't know. So it's to me, it doesn't feel as though it was considered as carefully as it should have been. It doesn't feel as though it's the same. Why is Libya getting this treatment when other countries are not, you know? But to top it all off, I don't believe that the United States or other countries should be acting as the world police in this area. Of course, if the military is targeting their civilians, then maybe that is a reason to act. But why Libya? Why not Iran? That's my main question. And the second question is the rebels. If you're helping the rebels, and supposedly just maybe there's ties to the rebels have ties to Al Qaeda, why are you helping somebody, some group that has members who are members of a terrorist organization? You know, why are you helping that? So I personally think that this mission is kind of, it was kind of maybe a knee-jerk reaction in this, but I don't think that it was a good idea to be helping Libya at this time, given, you know, it just doesn't add up to me. Seems as though it was too quick.
Okay.
I think that covers that.
That does cover it, actually.
Yeah,
that
probably
sounds... I was thinking
about
something, but no, I don't know well enough to do it justice.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say that probably sounded like it was coming from like a defense minister or something, which I'm not.
But well, I think it was a very objective standpoint. Well done.
Yeah, you know, you just got to wonder why Libya now and why not Iran a year and a half ago or whenever that was, you know?
Yep.
It's like, why? But what were you going to add? Go ahead.
Nothing, nothing, nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Penn State. Next one.
Excuse me. What up, guys? Recently saw a YouTube video talking about RuneScape and how it would be great for Blizzard, the creators of World of Warcraft and other big-name games, to buy RuneScape. What do you guys think of this, and how would you think it would change the game? I hear there are rarely ever any glitches in World of Warcraft, if any. So RuneScape would be close to that if Blizzard was as caring to RuneScape as it is with WoW. The other thing is Blizzard gives one batch of updates every 6 months or so. Or every 6 months or more, so updates wouldn't fluctuate the economy as much. So yeah, what do you guys think about this from Chris T? That'd be interesting. That'd be interesting, Blizzard buying RuneScape.
Yeah, it would. I don't know if they'd have enough money for that. Well, they probably would, but I honestly don't know if it would work.
Well, I don't think they would, for a start. Just
yeah, they wouldn't.
It's not really their domain, Java.
Yeah, and it's a completely different business model. So let's just forget that this is never going to happen, and let's just say if it were to happen,
yeah,
you know.
Imagining that it could. I suppose that if they did, and if they did pay as much attention to RuneScape as they did to World of Warcraft, it would be a pretty interesting game. The only thing is, I think getting used to six-month updates, that wouldn't really work for RuneScape as much as it does with World of Warcraft.
No, it wouldn't.
Because RuneScape, you get really bored of things.
Yes, it would be extremely painful waiting for that because there's only so much you can do without going to check out a new update. You know, I guarantee that if you were to go look at every six-month cycle for every type of player, there is an update in that six-month cycle for that type of player.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how World of Warcraft works exactly. I don't know how they keep the players entertained. But
Star Trek Online does the same kind of thing with their seasons and everything, you know? Basically, each season adds a whole new set of missions at the higher level cap or something like that. So basically, if you're a lower level, you're just left to reap the benefits of the little tweaks and fixes and stuff like that. Well, when you get to the higher level, you get the new missions and the new content and everything like that. So I assume WoW does something like that. I've never actually played WoW, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it might work. I think it's just really the contrast with the current paradigm. It would probably upset the players a bit much.
Yeah, it would. Do you remember how much upset there was when they went to a less announced update schedule, no behind the scenes, and potentially 1 or 2 weeks in a month without an update?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, maybe so that was sort of a shift in the direction of,
and it didn't work because we're back to detailed behind the scenes, you know. And
I think they just found that, you know, they can get away with that. That's easy. So why bother trying to be?
Yeah, and you know, Jagex has a good cycle that works, and they can push content updates out easily.
Full credit to them for being able to do that, being able to.
And you know, there's also an advantage to doing that in that you rev the game quicker and it evolves more and it can generate more player interest if those updates are decent, you know, versus having something that's just stagnating for 6 months that players are working through. I think the Jagex approach is better. Granted, you know, comparing Jagex to Star Trek Online, I wish Jagex had made Star Trek Online in that respect. That they had put their own spin on it compared to the way that game works. So
the other interesting thing, although you know, as Chris mentioned, economy fluctuation, how the batch of updates every 6 months would affect that. I think,
oh yeah, that's right.
That would actually be quite a positive aspect of it, if there wasn't, you know, if there were only updates every 6 months. I would be interested in seeing how that did affect the game, because you know, things would only change when things were updated,
right,
as they are now. But if there aren't updates until every 6 months, then yeah, that would be kind of cool.
I'm just trying to think if you could extrapolate this using
it would kind of be a natural economy.
Stuff
would change due to natural supply and demand,
but
and
you just
not
have
just
to,
because things in the game changed.
But also with the six-month cycle, you'd have to make sure that the economy changes weren't so drastic that you'd introduce a huge shock every 6 months. If you were to, say, bundle up all of the RuneScape updates we have in 6 months now and add however many quests they add, 3 to 4 quests, you know, if you were to bundle those up, that I don't think that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
For the economy. But what you say in the interim period would be good, I think. So, I don't know. Both games in their way they update the game and stuff have their own strong points and everything. But everybody is just so used to the way Jagex works, it doesn't make sense to change from that, because Jagex is like a micro game in respect that you just pop up a web browser and it's there, and the updates are so small that you don't even notice them downloading, right?
Yep.
So, I don't know. Interesting question, though.
Thank you, Chris T.
Chris T. Already. Next one from...
Like Chris T.
Yeah, always have to put the emphasis on that so it's not Christy, right?
No, I know.
Alrighty, next one from Jackie. Dear host, it's been a long time since I asked any questions, so I decided why not start up again? They're going to be long, so here it goes. Shane, I was listening to an episode a few years back, and I heard you mention that anyone who wants your IRL picture would have to pay you $60 million. Is this offer still up?
$60 million GP is probably not that much these days.
No, you know, the reason I set that price way back when was because, yeah, that was the white party hat price. So, yeah, if you buy me a white party hat, yes, that deal still stands.
Jeez, was a white party hat $60 million?
Yeah, way back when I first made that.
Shows you how much that's changed.
Yep. Number two, I'm hoping to start university soon and have always wanted to work with computers. I was wondering what type of maths I would require for a computer science course. I'm not really familiar with it, but I was hoping you could explain.
Well
everything.
Funnily enough. Yeah, you kind of do need everything.
You need the calculus, you need the linear algebra, and you need the stats.
Well, I guess. I don't know. It's probably best to do kind of everything at high school that you can in regards to maths. You know, I'm in my first year of a computer science course now, and I'm doing all three that I can. I'm doing stats and calculus this semester, and next semester I'm doing algebra. I didn't study stats at high school, but I did do calculus and I did do trig and algebra, which was actually an optional kind of subject at high school. It would help to do all of them. Stats is compulsory for the actual computer science bachelor, I think, here.
Oh, that's interesting. Here it was just one course.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we can kind of choose. I think stats is the only compulsory one.
It'll depend where you...
Stats is probably the easiest, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I haven't even done it before, and I find it easy to keep up with this year, whereas calculus, it's probably just the different lecturers, but calculus is quite difficult, even though I have already done it. So, again, though, it is just kind of a repeat of the high school year. If you do it in high school, then you can get a fairly good grasp on it and then just repeat it this year. I would highly recommend that.
Yeah, so pretty much everything you need.
Yeah, I only know the basics so far because I'm still doing it. Do you have anything to add to that?
Not really. It depends, though, when you're going to. I'd actually say calculus is probably the least important.
Yeah.
Once you have a basic understanding of how it works and everything, moving forward, things like graphics and gaming, gaming especially, will be stats-based and algebra-based, whereas algorithms and image manipulation and video manipulation stuff, that will be more algebra-based. So,
yeah. Because I suppose what happens if you actually did need to use any calculus, any advanced calculus, in any algorithms, for whatever reason, you could kind of just look up how to do stuff as you needed to do them.
Yeah, and I'm also sure another thing... in programming, it doesn't really make sense to implement something in terms of a calculus-based derivative or integral or differential. You are better off simplifying it into something that is single state and then using a loop or something to go over it as if it was just, you know, a single thing rather than going the advanced step and going calculus-based. So, like, I've never programmed anything that was calculus. Everything was just kind of simplified into an algebraic form, you know? Like, but with that being said, algorithms is where it comes in. So, I think we beat that one to death. Gave it a good answer, too.
That's good. Number three?
What's the longest time you've escaped in a day? Mine was 18-ish hours during the last summer holiday, and I was going for my
dear
first 99,
God,
which was woodcutting. What? Don't say that. You got 26 hours on the bonus XP weekend in September.
Yeah, but in a day?
Okay.
Do 26 hours in a day?
Well, they're only... Well, you must have done more than 12 per day, I'd imagine.
I doubt it. Well, actually, I could have potentially. I don't know. I don't remember. It was probably more like 10. I know,
okay,
I hit the
well
6-hour mark once. But that was only because I was like fight caving, I think.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
that
takes a long time.
It was with a friend. But otherwise, no, I'm not very good at playing for long periods of time. I don't
remember. Neither.
I don't really have a record.
Neither am I. I'd say the most would probably be 4 or 5, well, slaying, probably something like that, but probably closer to 4 without taking a break or something. So definitely no long marathons for me.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, without taking a break. But the longest, just the longest time in a day.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Definitely no more than 10.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought I'd played more than 10.
Probably close to
10 is
7 or 8, I'd imagine. I don't know. Just guessing.
Mm.
So, yeah, nothing too outlandish.
18. That is impressive.
Yeah, that would be pretty much from wake up to go to bed if you're getting 6 hours sleep. I don't think I could do that. I don't know, maybe if you were woodcutting or fishing or something, but I don't know, I think the time would get to me.
Anyway.
Alrighty.
Jicky says, thanks and keep up the good work.
Alright, I missed that.
Yep.
Next
anyway,
one?
Anyway, next one is from Zent Twilight, Shane and Chiefy Pooeykins. I have a magical question this week. Magical questions are always good. I have recently decided to get 94 magic, and what better time to do it than during Magic Skill of the Month? I started off doing alchemy, which was slowish XP, but fairly cheap, and is a leading cause of carpal tunnel syndrome in RuneScape players. In the past few days, I have started to string jewellery, which I have discovered to be slightly expensive and getting more expensive because of the high demand of astral runes due to the new lunar spells. Do you recommend I keep stringing jewellery, or should I train using some other method? Note, I have about 10 mil cash to waste. Thank you, Zent. Well, you're the expert here.
Yeah, I'm a fan of string jewelry if you can afford it. It's just so much easier because you have to do so much less clicking. So, I do like that method. But if you wanted to elk, you could use mouse keys. They are legal. So, basically, that's in the... I don't even know where you set that up on Windows 7 or Windows Vista anymore. So, somebody out there post in the topic for this episode
too,
at rsbz.com/forums about how to activate mouse keys in Vista or 7, please. I have no idea how to do that in there.
Yeah,
I know in XP it used to be in the accessibility options under the accessories menu. I think. Something like that, but I'm a fan of Lunar, so if you have the money, you might as well. And also, given that Astral Runes are back down after this update, you might as well. As of recording this right now,
I think he just is sort of wondering, because of the current price of Astral Runes, should he keep stringing jewelry, or should he use another method until they go down, at least?
Oh... Well, it just depends on the money. If you have the money, keep stringing jewelry. If not, go elking. I don't know. It also depends on how fast you want the XP and whether or not you want to be able to multitask with it. So, up to you entirely.
Yeah, I suppose Elking is the only other major option. So, it is
it's
really
plank make, but I'd imagine that's more expensive.
Oh God, yeah, it'd be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, 10 mil to waste. He didn't recently decide to get 94 magic. Yeah, that should be enough money. I don't think I spent that much even going for 99, so you might as well just continue with the stringing spell. Thank you, Zant.
The last
question is from Blue Brissinger. Hello, Shane and Chiefy. I almost read your name as Calgary there for some reason, but okay.
How do you get okay?
I don't know. Are there any areas in RuneScape where you can engage in interesting conversations with other players while skilling? If so, what are some of the better conversations you've heard? For example, while fishing rock tails in the Living Rock Caverns, people seem to have rather engaging talks about anything from politics to what makes awesome RuneScape names. It was a rather nice surprise for me as well, as all the places of other skilled people are either silent or don't say anything worth responding to. Nice to see the update still going strong. From Jamie.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have actually expected the Living Rock Caverns to have any scintillating conversation.
Yeah, when I was there mining last time, people were trying to accuse people who weren't speaking of being bots.
Yeah.
So that's with the mining. I never went over to the fishing side, but I don't know. I honestly can't say the last time I had an engaging conversation with a random person in RuneScape.
It might have been something. I can't remember any off the top of my head either, but
farming maybe.
Not really farming, because people go too quickly.
Yeah, that's true. I think I talked to one person at a farming patch once. I can remember that.
I think I talked to one person once, yeah.
Did you ever talk to those two that were always around, out and about by the Catherby area?
No. I saw them using using LeetSpeak once, so I was like, nah, not going to associate with them. Well, when I say LeetSpeak,
that's funny.
Using the letter U instead of the word U. So I said no.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, well, we'll forget them then. Yeah, but no, I really can't think of any areas like that. Definitely not while slaying. I think Soul Wars once, maybe, when I was doing something there.
Soul Wars?
Well, not in Soul Wars, just at the bank, you know.
Definitely not the GE as well. That's for sure. Name lots of places where you can't have good conversation. But
yeah, it's easier to list those. So we should list all those, and then whichever's left will be the ones where you can't have good conversations. Lumbridge Basement?
Yeah, I suppose so.
I don't know. I'm struggling to think of anything here, so let's just say no.
Yeah, I can't actually remember the last time I met someone interesting.
Yep. Alrighty. Thank you for that question, Jamie. And if you want to send in other questions like that or any of the others we've got, you can go early in the week to the forums, rsbnb.com/forums, and find the topic for the week and post your question there if it's a text question. Or if you want to send us an audio question, you may email them to questions@rsbnb.com as a WAV or MP3. Please try to keep them under 30 seconds in length, or you could phone them in to
571-572-2362.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Also translates to 571-57-BNB.
Wow, I did well.
You did.
Having not done that in a while.
Yes. It's a number that you can remember, I find.
571-572-2632.
Woo! Yes. Yeah, see, if it would be nice to have a way to easily put up things while we're doing this show, but you could do an enhanced podcast and stuff. But we really don't have the time for that much post-production on this. So,
yeah, I agree.
Anyways.
Tech news.
Basically, there is a potential law in the U.S. coming up that would allow companies and whatnot to, and the government to have search engines, Google, Yahoo, Bing, those types of people, remove results from their search indexes if they were violating a copyright or were doing something illegal. And Google is highly opposed to this, as you know, as Google takes a philosophy of collaboration on the internet to create a better internet. And they say, don't give private trolls web censorship power.
That's pretty funny, coming straight from the search engine, straight from Google.
Yeah, they don't want people censoring them, so they want to make it seem like the people are the ones who are in charge of everything, when really they are, based on the algorithms and stuff, you know? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think that's how it should be. I mean, I don't think private companies should be given power like that. I mean, it's just kind of reality, really. The results are real. You don't want to receive search results that aren't accurate. And so that's what Google is trying to give the people, the most accurate results it can.
Okay.
So why not?
I agree with you on part of that, saying that companies shouldn't be allowed to have things censored and everything. But at the same time, I do think that the government and maybe even the music and video industries and stuff like that should have the ability to have their pointers removed to infringing websites and stuff, you know, like that, or even websites that violate the law or incite hatred, you know, like 4chan and stuff, or other stuff like that that might appear in Google. I think that would be the good side of this thing if it were to pass.
I think it's a big deal for Google itself, and for any search engine really that would have to abide by it. It's probably easier, really, just to take the website down rather than
and
search results. Because Google is going to be the big one affected by this. All of the little search engines, really, you know, they're just going to have to follow suit.
Yeah, let's also not forget that Google is an international company, and if this law were to pass in the U.S., it would only be in effect in the U.S. So theoretically, people in the U.S. could go to google.ca or something else and use that. So, you know, it would be nice to remove websites that are illegal, you know, in the sense of that they violate a law or something, right? But at the same time, you can't, because it is an... The internet is a global thing, and laws aren't the same everywhere.
The internet is open. And
there's no way to do this with the way the current internet works. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
You know, and it's contradictory to the way everything works and everything, but I don't know what the solution is for this. Because there needs to be something to prevent laws from being broken online, like harassing people, trolling people, inciting hatred and everything. There has to be a law to prevent that somehow. It's just, how do you do that online? You can't. That's the problem with it. That's my big issue with this. So, I don't know. And, you know, when you think about the people making the decisions, the people making these decisions aren't very smart when it comes to the internet. So, it's like, we're going to go down the wrong path no matter what happens. Whether they're trying to keep the internet open or close it up, it's not going to be right. And either way, I don't know what the answer is.
I would give Google the power personally. Google understands.
Hey, that's a good idea. Have Google run political parties in countries. Have the Google party.
I would support that.
Then the more countries Google has their parties in, then they can just set laws in those countries, and more and more. They run the internet. They run the world. Which, hooray. I don't know if that's a good thing, but okay. Do you trust Google?
Yes.
Who do you trust more, Google or Microsoft?
Google.
Okay. Google or Apple?
Google.
Okay. Well, that's fairly simple then. That's good to know.
Yeah, it was. I don't know why you asked me that.
It's just so many people say Google is the new evil empire.
I don't see why.
I know. It's perfectly fine, right. I think. Yeah. Only fear I have is that some reason some of my email will be lost. But that's the only thing. I trust them.
Google have, like, massive redundancy, don't they? They back up remember, things onto tape drives.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, part of that reason, I wish more people on my contact list would use Google Talk for IM. It's just so nice because anything I use on my Google Talk account goes directly into my Gmail inbox as a conversation.
Yeah.
So it becomes searchable and it's archived. It's just, I just wish more people would use GTalk. Yeah. And you know, I trust them not to screw up on security. So let's create a Google party then. That's a good idea.
Yep. I support.
Alrighty. Microsoft Mammoth Patch Tuesday will fix 64 flaws.
Nice. More updates.
Friends, this is why you don't run a Windows server. It's why you don't leave a computer in the closet running Windows. Because you forget about it and it becomes open to these flaws, and one day one of these flaws will be able to breach your network and come in and cause massive havoc. So let's just say run your Windows updates next week because you will be getting a huge selection of patches. 9 out of 17 were rated critical, while the rest are important.
Only 17 updates, though.
Yeah, but 17 is quite a bit for a month. This ties the record from last December.
Impressive.
Yeah. So this is going to address Microsoft's MHTML flaw, which is their crazy solution for having a HTML type language that has everything with it for Internet Explorer. You know, just shake my head at all this. You know, it's like, ugh, so impure, Windows. Compared to everything else. It's amazing that this thing works. So, let's just say that if you want to hear more about what these are, you can read the article I have here. If not, you can just run your Windows updates next week and be a good internet citizen. Because you know you need to run these, because if not, you're endangering everyone else. It's just like getting vaccines. The more people that get them, the safer the population is. The more people that run Windows updates, the safer the internet population is, right?
I guess so. I avoid updating when I can, but...
Oh, really?
Does that make me a bad person?
It depends. Is your computer on the internet without a firewall?
No, I'm behind a router.
Okay, you're probably okay then.
But, you know, open network. Although I do forward ports.
Yeah, you probably should update. Everybody should update these critical ones, but it's just so annoying because there's...
I usually use Linux, so...
Yeah, there you go. So it's really no problem. But that little Windows update icon is always in the bottom when I use Windows. It's really annoying.
It is. Yep, mine too. I feel like I get updates all the time. And it's just always there now because I don't want to update to Windows Internet Explorer 9.
Okay.
Well, when I say I don't want to, I should, but I just can't be bothered sparing the bandwidth for it, since I know I won't.
Yeah, it's a nice browser. I recommend it over Opera on Windows.
Really? Over Opera?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it that good?
Well, it's just, Opera has always been too complex for me.
I guess. And it has, it's kind of got its own interface, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's not as bad as it used to be.
No, it's not terrible, but...
Yeah, so... Anyways,
try that again sometime.
No, 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 no.
Well, just to see what it's like. Give it a chance, Shane.
It's in the Mac App Store, surprisingly. I'm amazed Apple let that in with their how they, you know.
Yeah.
And that, and in a way, that's good because that means Opera on the Mac uses native code, nothing funky like Firefox does.
Oh, nice.
So, anyways, Firefox, maybe I will give it a try on OS X just to see how it is. But moving on, we just finished talking about Windows 7 and Windows 7 coming out a year ago. It's time to start talking about Windows 8 now.
As usual, Windows 8 secrets. Windows,
yes.
Explorer ribbon. I was just briefly looking at these screenshots, and I think it looks hideous.
Yes.
I could not imagine using an Explorer like that.
Yes. It's like, keep the Explorer simple for what it's supposed to do, and move these little side operations into the image browser, whatever the hell's heck it is.
Yep.
Yes, it shows this, but really, do we need this appearing, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't like it. I hope there's a way to like hide it permanently, you know. Well, not permanently, but just so it's not always there when you open a new window.
Yeah.
I think the Explorer in Windows 7 is pretty good, actually. Comparing Windows.
Me too.
XP. It's decent for what it does, but it could be better. But I don't know. Like, granted, this is an early design here, but I don't know. I don't particularly think it's going in the right direction based on the other interesting stuff Microsoft does, like Xbox and Windows Phone. So I don't know. Yeah, it's good for programs like Office that have lots of hidden features and stuff. But do you really need that for Explorer? I don't know.
Even Office, I'm still not sold on the whole ribbon thing.
Oh, really?
I still find it difficult to use. I mean, it kind of works now that I understand it, but it's still not very streamlined. I mean, you have to use multiple clicks to get to different things.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. It works okay for like when you're on one tab and you're using that same tab all the time, like the home tab for formatting and things. But if you ever have to change, it actually takes effort to find things, and I don't know. I don't like that.
You know, I think it did make Microsoft Excel easier to use because that one was always confusing with how you'd make a graph and everything like that, you know? So I don't know. Okay.
No, I haven't actually used Office 2003 in a long time, so I don't know how it would compare if I used it now.
Okay. I don't know. I like the iWork suite over Office, actually.
Yeah. Actually, it's good on Mac because they still have all the different menus, you know, even though it has the ribbon too.
Okay. All right. Well, I'd imagine we're about a year away, or maybe 13, 14 months away from the release of Windows 8, probably summer 2012, most likely. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad I switched to Linux, just in case something goes horribly wrong with the next release of Windows.
Yeah, you and your Linux, that's probably a good place to be, but I don't know, I still
and
like
Mac.
OS X.
Just in case, I've got multiple backups.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. Alrighty, well, it's skill of the month time.
Yep.
April skill of the month. Just updating the notes because they still said March. Oops. That's what happened when you make show notes at 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Skill of the month is currently magic.
And it's still
so we've
to
got
March.
A, yeah, there just change the number
found
to 4 and you're good to go.
I got it. Ooh, so we've got first place at the... Well, total XP gathered thus far, which is in 7 days, 11 million XP. That's pretty nice. In first place, we have Bonsai99, with 2 mil XP gained. And second place, following closely behind, is Zant Twilight, with 1.8 million XP gained. Very impressive. So doing well, Zant Twilight. And actually, fairly evenly distributed behind is Optimaniac, going at a similar pace, with 1.3 mil XP, though. And close behind him is X-Blades, Yeah, actually, it's kind of anyone's game.
It's still an up horse.
The they're going at the same pace.
It's yeah, just it's still an up horse race all the way through position six. So
yeah,
it's nice to see people racing for once rather than just sitting idle, you know.
Apart from Zilla, but yeah,
yeah, and we got a massive 33 signups this month.
Ooh, that's fairly hefty.
Yep. So that's the magic skill of the month. Daily graphs are interesting as well, seeing as there's lots of fluctuation between who's leading the XP gain per day. So definitely not over yet, so I'm proud of that. Keep racing, everybody. Everybody's doing a good job. Go, go, go. Alrighty. So it sounded like a cat.
Yeah, I'm hearing lots of strange noises right now.
Yes.
Someone's pick. Oh, yes. I think that's my pick.
Yep. Right.
What am I picking? I think my pick this week is something called the Google Body Browser, which is apparently this has been around for some time. I think it's been in beta for ages. But I only just discovered it a few days ago on like the 1st of April. Or no, just before the 1st of April when they brought it out of beta. And then the next day, on the 1st of April, they actually had used it for a joke. But anyway, what the Google Body Browser is, when Google are not joking around, is, if I just go to, oh no, hang on, it doesn't work properly in Linux, because Firefox is stupid. But in Chrome it does. Basically, anyway, it is just a body browser. You get to look at the human body, or the bovine body in 3D. Does that make sense, Shane?
Yep.
It's just a website, basically, that you go to, bodybrowser.google.com, something like that, from memory.
Google Labs. And you can pull the layers back to see all the way from the bones to the
Google Labs.
Circulatory system, to the nervous system, to the muscles, to the outer layer of the skin, to this is an example of what can be done with computers and whatnot. So this same kind of thing could probably be applied to a medical profession, I'd imagine. Like take a picture of someone, comprehensive x-ray, and then use this to pull back the layers, then you could actually do examining like that. Granted, we're not there yet, but this just shows what kind of UI it could use or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Which so is really interesting, because that would revolutionize diagnosing little issues and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you could pull the layers back and then stick your head up someone's midsection, you know, and just to see where this exact tumor is and stuff, you know? So,
yeah, I guess so. I mean,
definitely
I think,
something.
Yeah, the main thing about this is just, you know, the fact that it can be done in a browser is pretty cool. I don't know. That was what I thought. But where is there anything
it
else?
It makes
you
my
want
fans go crazy.
Does it? Mine are fairly the same.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Did you manage to enable the GPU acceleration for that, or did it crash?
I'm actually afraid to close the window right now that I've got into it, because the last couple of times I did that, it restarted my graphical display manager.
Okay, well, don't do
which
that.
Is a pretty massive bug. I don't know how that happened. Each of those times, I actually was updating the GDM at the time. So I'm not sure if it was related to that, but you know, each time it was at the exact moment that I closed the browser that it
okay,
restarted.
Well, we'll just leave
so
it at
concerning.
That.
That's concerning. I'm just gonna leave it there. but that's Linux for you. It works fine in Windows. I have tried it, so don't be afraid to go to it in that.
Yep. And you do need an HTML5 browser, I believe, right?
Yeah. So just Google Chrome or Firefox 4.
Or IE9.
Oh, I guess so.
Alrighty, achievements of the week. Only two of them this week. First up, Poison Nova 99 defense on April 1st. Hopefully that wasn't a joke to your friends.
Yes. Congratulations.
Next.
And then, oh, the next one was Fanaticism, who got 99 Herblore on April the 3rd. Congratulations. That's pretty impressive. I wonder how he did that. What
method? Yeah, it's mega expensive now, so congratulations to you both on that. And 99 defense is my favorite combat skill, so good job to you both.
Well done.
Yep. Remember to get 99s if you want to get mentioned here, or other notable skills like 120 Dungeoneering or something like that. Alrighty. One more thing before we wrap this one up. We want your guest articles. Guest articles for RSBNB Informer. You can read more about that at informer.rsbnb.com/guest articles. Link will be in the show notes, basically what this is. If you want to write about something, send us a proposal. We'll say yay or nay, and then you write it, and then it gets published at the end of the month, and you get to share your work with the rest of RSBNB and the surrounding community. So if you have something you want to say, write an article. Chiefs wrote one before about pro-choice.
Yep.
So, there you go. And if you have any questions about guest articles, feel free to send me a PM on the forums, because I handle that side of things. So send me a PM, and I'll answer your question. Alrighty, so what have we been doing? You want to go first?
I suppose I could. Sleeping. Well, I wish I'd been sleeping, actually. But I suppose, I've just still been here doing work, lots of work. Mathsy things and databasey things. Hooray.
That's fun, isn't it?
Yep. The last 2 weeks have been pretty boring. Yesterday, I went to Auckland. That was fun. I climbed a volcano, which I guess is kind of mountainous, but...
And it wasn't erupting, if anybody's going to ask.
No, that would just be silly. Why would you climb a volcano if it was erupting?
Did you go gather scientific data?
No. It's a very dormant volcano. But look at, the crater and everything, which is huge. If you ever had the chance, it's worth doing. It's in Auckland. It is Rangitoto Island, which is a Māori name, which means bloody skies. So good stuff. It's actually a really amazing view. You have to get a boat to the island, which costs a marginal amount of money for your seeing. And you climb up the mountain, climb up the volcano, which is about an hour worth of walking. And it's pretty hard going. I have a few aching muscles today, but not as much as I expected, surprisingly. Once you actually get to the top, it is probably one of the most amazing views I've ever seen, to be honest. I would recommend it to anyone if you're ever going to Auckland or just ever visiting New Zealand at all. Even though Auckland is a pretty crappy city, if you're going to be visiting here, you don't really want to go to Auckland. You want to see the rest of the place. But, it's worth doing. It's worth doing. So do that.
I don't know if Leo will agree with you, but that's okay.
Leo's probably been. I wouldn't be surprised. That's only the second time I've ever been to Auckland. I could be wrong about these things. There may be more out there that I haven't seen.
At least you didn't go climbing that big tower.
No. Went past it several times, though, because the transport center is right outside it.
Okay. Did you go bungee jumping?
No.
I thought you guys in New Zealand like bungee jumping or something.
Yeah, generally we do, but I just haven't really yet.
Okay.
Extent of stupid things that I do. Climbing volcanoes.
Well, that's not too bad. Could be worse.
Could be.
So is there anything else that you want to share with our dear listeners, your devout followers?
Not really. I conquered the transport system. Conquered the Hamilton transport system. So I feel pretty happy
about
that.
That's good. It's coming from somebody who comes from somewhere small and still adjusting to big city life.
Yeah, peak time. Yeah, that was a bit bizarre.
That's okay. Alrighty. Well, are you done?
I'm done.
Alrighty, as for me, this week I, of course, checked out the farm. I finished my medium and hard tasks for the RD Achievement Diary.
Ooh.
Or not Achievement Diary, task system. I just figured it was time to do that.
I see.
I did a dungeon or two or three with Trekkie and Mike, so that got me 66 dungeoneering.
Good stuff.
Aside from that, that's pretty much it on RuneScape this week. I feel like I was pretty productive. Aside from that, I set up a storage array using RAID 1 with a little enclosure device to provide some redundancy for network storage here, just in case any hard drives were to ever fail or something. And aside from that, I realized that the KISS principle is something that I really should be following when I make a user interface.
Definitely.
So that's pretty much it this week for me. So,
Sounds good.
I think that brings us to the end of the show then, unless you have any questions or anything.
Nope.
Alrighty then, it's been RSPMB Update episode 303, and somebody will be back here next week with me. I'm not sure who yet, but I will see you then. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.